reporting on the alphabet groups. It's not what it used to be. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Arrow News. Welcome in to the Arrow News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Jim Campbell, who is the CEO and editor-in-chief of Arrow News Network. Jim is set up in our office trailer at Whitman Regional for EAA Air Venture 2010, Oshkosh. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we're doing there and how it has changed over time. And Jim, first, thanks for taking some time out. I know it's going to get crazy busy here any moment.
Well, first of all, let me correct you on something here, Paul. It's not an office trailer. It is the super secret above-ground bunker for all things Arrow News.
All right. Okay.
And right now we're beginning to get ready to install a periscope. It's been raining all day.
All right. Well, let's talk briefly about that because I've already heard a joke about Sloshkosh. What is it like there? And what kind of do you see any compromises so far that would be of interest to folks who have not yet arrived?
Well, let me start this way. To quote Bill Cosby, who was quoting Noah, "How long can you tread water?" They had some significant rain showers in the weeks preceding this point. It started to dry out for a day or two, and they were worried about an inch or so of rain that was forecast for today, and we've had over an inch in the last hour. It is really coming down. There's going to be some issues with soft ground. I recommend that people who are planning to taxi airplanes to camping areas and so forth do so gingerly, carefully, and be prepared. It's going to be soft. Even if we get several days of unrelenting sunshine, at this point, this place is really soaked.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the event and covering it, because that's really what we're here to talk about. I'm aware, and I've only been doing this for about 4 years now in terms of directly covering aviation as a journalist, and I have noticed kind of a shift in the relationship between the alphabet groups in general and EAA specifically and outside media. And I think I understand what's going on, but I would appreciate your input and insight into that.
Well, actually, it's something that concerns me a great deal right now, because we are seeing some changes, and not just in practice, but in attitude. And the fact of the matter is, in a world where the web reigns supreme, there seems to be a suggestion that the industry associations don't have to cooperate as much, or can be far more restrictive with outside media than they've been. That, of course, is a double-edged sword, because, the biggest issue, of course, is the fact that when you're reporting on yourself, your objectivity goes out the window. Two, there are a number of fine companies that have been reporting on this industry for a long time with a lot of credibility and with a lot invested in this, who are now being told what they can and cannot cover. In some cases, it's actually getting to be a quasi-competitive environment. And finally, there's the overarching concern that what is really happening here is that the associations are trying to control how they're being presented. Now, in some cases, I don't think that's the intent, even though that's the practice that's coming about. And in one or two cases, I have no doubt that that's the intent. But this industry is in a tough place. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. And if we keep ladling out the same old Bravo Sierra day after day after day, that, you know, everything's wonderful, the associations are great, but they sit at the right hand of the Anointed One, and that they are beyond reproach and beyond criticism, we're going to get absolutely nowhere. And especially with the practices we've seen where not a whole lot is changing in outreach, i.e. looking back at the old definition of what insanity is, i.e. doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Well, the associations have to be challenged. They don't want to be challenged. And we're finding out left and right now that there are going to be limitations in a number of areas on what we can cover and what we can't.
Jim, hold that thought for a moment. Let's get into it more after the break. More with Jim Campbell from Oshkosh in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Arrow News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack with Jim Campbell, who's at Oshkosh now for AirVenture, has been covering the event and the Alphabet groups themselves for many years, and is noticing a change in the relationship. Jim, let's get back to the effort you say you sense from the groups to control how they're covered, because I think anybody who's in the public view, if they had the ability to reach out and turn a big knob labeled public opinion, would want themselves to be presented in the best light possible, as wart-free as possible. But by the same token, I think one of the things that any organization, especially when it gets big, suffers from is kind of a lack of perspective on what is playing well. I think I've seen some things out of all the associations in the past year that lead me to believe that the folks inside don't really appreciate how what they're doing is being received and kind of keep on just blundering ahead regardless.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, you live in the ivory tower and, well, you know what happens there. You're not really in touch with the real world. But I mean, we're butting heads a little bit now, and so far it's been reasonably polite. And I think by the fall, it's not going to be very polite anymore. But there's no question I'm getting serious overtures on what can be covered, how it can be covered, who can cover it, how it should be covered, and things of that nature. I mean, you know, and as I said, I in many cases I don't think this is a situation where people are trying to be overtly ugly about it. I think this is just the natural result of people trying to watch their own turf. But, we were originally hoping to do live coverage of the air shows here at Oshkosh. That's not being allowed. Some time ago, we wanted to do full podcasts of Theater in the Woods, the speeches and so forth that were given there. Those are not allowed. We have run into situations where our video and audio crews have attempted to do interviews at major media events, and the crews for EAA have claimed primacy and, in fact, have stepped in front of cameras and so forth. And mind you, I don't want to get on EAA's case because EAA, at least, has been polite about it. They've not been too much of a problem. Where we're particularly concerned right now is AOPA, where it's gotten very, very competitive on an attitude standpoint, i.e. you can't cover AOPA because we're AOPA and only we know AOPA. We have been told what we can cover, what we can't. We have been denied audio feeds to certain events. We have had incidents where a senior person for AOPA didn't like the fact that we were covering an event and had put our camera closer than where he was, even though we weren't blocking him. Came over and used some very unfortunate language to myself and a camera person in front of women and children who, you know, were in tight spaces in front of this particular event. And the person refused to apologize in total for those remarks. We're having problems now with interviews in that people are being told, you know, you got to talk to AOPA first, or trying to get primacy on that. Information is being somewhat limited in that particular regard. And there's no question from folks that we're talking to, especially the folks that are leaving AOPA, that AOPA right now is so intent on controlling the message that they really don't think we, i.e. outside general aviation media, are necessary. And that's getting to be more and more a difficulty because, one, right now I think AOPA is way off track. You may have seen our cartoons over the last few days with the AOPA Wine Club. Now, the AOPA Wine Club is kind of a joke. It's truthful, by the way, but, I mean, it's a silly thing to point to. But what it does point to is a disconnect, I believe, on the part of current AOPA leadership and the folks that they represent. I think it is a serious misstep for AOPA to be involved in any alcoholic beverage because the next time that there is any incident involving drinking and flying or flying and drinking and somebody points to the AOPA Wine Club, we're going to have a problem on our hands. We've called about it. They don't want to listen to us. They don't want to hear about it. We've called about a number of other things. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to listen to it. They don't want to respond to it. We're very concerned about this. This is a horrible trend. At a time when we need good, solid leadership and good, solid guidance, the last thing we need is an organization that's so interested in controlling the message that it will not allow the outside media to do the job that it should be doing all along.
I guess down to the bottom line here, what should people have never maybe even thought about this or paid much attention to the effects of this inside reporting do, or what should they say, or how should they make their voices known if they do see some bias sticking its head up?
Well, first of all, they're going to have to ask the associations, what job is it that you're here to do? If you're an association, be an association. At the same time, let's ask a question. If an association has a lobbying arm, how can they credibly have a news department? There is no way that there's going to be any true credibility in that particular area. We're putting in our heart and soul into these things, but at the same time, when the emperor has no clothes, we're out there to take the picture, to tell people what's going on and why, instead of getting a fashion review from the associations.
We will see you on Monday when the DC3 reunion ends in Rock Falls. I will be over there, and we'll look forward to working another crazy week.
Oh, boy. It is, you know, let me throw an olive branch here. I mean, we love this. Everybody loves it. We have our hearts in our best place. Let the associations be good associations and protect the interests of their membership and the interests of this industry. And we will be here to be guardians of what is truthful, what's credible, what's real, what can be verified, and most important, what this industry needs to know and needs to show the world to say, yes, this is an industry that's worth paying attention to, worth being valued, and worth whatever support it needs from the general public and the government to succeed.
Jim Campbell is ANN's CEO and Editor-in-Chief. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you in Oshkosh. And have a clear and unlimited day.